When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you by Birmingham Live.
Hello and welcome to the Claret and Blue podcast. This evening we are live on Facebook and YouTube. And the breaking news is that Aston Villa are going to be Premier League champions this year, James. What a brilliant start to the season.
Four in a row, man. Buzzing, like, I couldn't have imagined it. I thought there might have been some struggle. And, you know, you can't look at Liverpool and say, we're going to win. You know, we're definitely going to win that. You can't look at Leicester as well and say, we're definitely going to win that. Two very good teams. And just as impressive as it's ever, I think holding on and getting the win at the end, keeping that confidence going, looking like the team that was always going to win it as well, I think was very important. But like 1-0, it's just unreal. It's just an unreal feeling. And it just feels so normal as well. Being good. Like,
it is weird. And I know that we're going to be joined by Matt Kendrick in the next 5 or 10 minutes. He's been playing five-a-side tonight. So we'll see if he's had a better result than Villa, which I highly doubt. He always says not to get too carried away. But I mean, that's part of the excitement, isn't it? Getting carried away. But it, like you say, it does feel almost normal to Villa. Yeah, Villa win games now. That's just who we are. That's weird. That's a little bit concerning.
Tell you what, the Premier League ain't going to like it at all for their product when we're going to Europe next season. They don't want it. They don't want them spouncing Leicester or Liverpool or Man City or Arsenal or Tottenham out of a European place, man. They ain't going to like it when unfashionable Aston Villa turn up in Azerbaijan next year.
I'll tell you what, I'm all for the kazoo tartar race, by the way, between us and Everton. Yeah. I'm all for it. Pick up with the kazoo size doing good this season. It is nice, though, isn't it? I know it's only four games gone, but it is nice to see different teams towards the top end of the Premier League table for a change. And like I say, yes, it's four games, but you know, Leicester still up there, Everton, us. It's nice, isn't it? Say the usual boys.
Yeah, no, it's a throwback, man. Like seeing, I think, Leeds doing well, Everton especially. And of course, like Villa, like the mighty Villa, like back where they belong, second in the table. You know, it's a, you know, I mean, I remember, you know, when I, in my first stint as a season ticket holder when I was a kid, and the person who took me saying, look, we're in the nosebleeds now. If we win the next game, we're fourth, and that means Champions League. And I was thinking, you know, bloody hell, it's an incredible feeling. It takes me back to those Martin O'Neill days when we were, I know it's early days and we shouldn't get carried away, but like, what's the point if you can't have the fun? If we're going to be so negative and painful after those devastating losses and the rubbish draws, when we're doing well, we need to be the worst fan and most insufferable fans going, because it might not last long and we've got to enjoy it. We've got to enjoy the ride. It's going to be a wild one. Enjoy the ride.
Well, I did mention earlier that we'd be joined by Matt Kendrick with his usual pessimism. Matt, are you here to bring us all back down to reality?
You're the most insufferable fan going. You really are.
Is that a Everton shirt? Is it, what's that? Neverton. It's
Neverton Colesmite, isn't it? It's Carlsberg did Sundays. Well, I probably had something more interesting for my dinner, to be honest, if they did Sundays. But my son's team won 4-1 this morning, and he won man of the match. And nice. Then, what's happened, mate? I didn't watch it on pay-per-view. How we got on?
If you've missed the facts, I think Villa are going to win the league this year, is basically what's happening.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have led a chorus of that in Worley Rugby Club's bar this evening, where I've been able to watch the game. So, yeah, it was a bit of you've probably done all this chat, but it was a bit of a scrappy game, wasn't it? It was a bit kind of aggro in places, wasn't it?
You're the first person to speak about the game.
I was going to say, we haven't actually. I mean, it's very, very unusual to get to do a podcast where you talk about football. But yeah, like we've just been talking about the strangeness that Villa just feel like they're good this year. Like, we're not saying to get too carried away, but it almost feels normal that Villa win games now, which is scary territory. Do you agree?
You brought me off my pessimism. Imagine when we crash down from this.
I don't.
Imagine the low.
Do you mean crash down from these mighty heights of second in the Premier League after four games? That looks good, doesn't it?
I mean, call it null and void, not null and void, but call it as it is, points per game, whatever. Because we're going up, we're staying up there.
Going up. I mean,
Yeah, go, we're getting promoted to Champions League. I don't know if you heard. From the Championship to Champions League.
Yeah, I think Village is kind of one club founders, a project up yours. Village just take over the whole planet.
Nice. The only side in English football to still have a 100% record as well, I believe, after four games, which is
we were yesterday, weren't we? So, let's enjoy it, eh? I've got
the first time. Sorry, mate. Go on.
Got me kind of pride and joy. So I don't really drink on a Sunday night, but I'll make an
I did think about getting a beer out, but I did decide against it. It's the first time we've won the opening four games since 1930-1931. How do you remember that one, Matt?
Good, actually, yeah. Yeah, I probably, 4 years old. But...
I almost had to write that down to make sure I got it right, but I thought I'd just be about to get it. Another little stat that I've already tweeted about, but for the 623 people watching us live on Sunday evening, thank you very much for tuning in. Do you know how many games it took us to get to 12 points last season, Matt?
38.
38.
I mean, it's less than I thought it was. It was after 12 games, we had 11 points.
It was the Norwich and Brighton games, wasn't it? Back to back.
No. It was actually Newcastle in November. Just after we beat Newcastle, that was the 13th game, which took us to 14 points. Before that, we were on 11 points after losing to Wolves, you know, that horrible Wolves game away at their place. Came back, beat Newcastle, went to 14 points, 13 games that took. This season, 4 games, 12 points. And we worked out before you came on as well, or before we went live, we also gained those points over the same fixtures last season. So, obviously, Leicester beat us twice last year. We beat them. Liverpool beat us twice. We got nothing out. We got a point out of Sheffield United in the project restart. We've already beat them. And obviously, Fulham weren't in the league, but we beat Norwich as a replication of a side of that quality. We're up on the games we played last season and up on points by a margin of 10 games, which is incredible, really. What a turnaround.
It is, if you look about, don't want to harp back too much, but... If you look at the absolute spanking that we had at Leicester pre-lockdown, I thought 0-0 probably would have been fair, to be honest. But
I agree, not
interested in fairness, to be honest. But we've gone there and created a couple of chances, had a couple of scares. And it feels like Villa have kind of grown into their Premier League skins a little bit. Just that, God, I'm such a bore, but the clean sheet pleases me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think, in terms of chances created, it was an amazing game. I think, like you said, a point would have been fair, and I was happy to come on here, and I would have said, you know what, I'll take a point against Leicester, 0-0, that's fine. All that goes out the window in the 93rd minute when Ross Barkley, lovely strike, by the way, for the goal. All that goes out the window, and you're talking about 4 out of 4, and the hysteria is well underway, but let's enjoy it, like you said. Somebody in the comments, actually, Matt, I wanted to ask you, because obviously it was before my time, said that it was a
bit like... Back to 1930 again.
No, not that far. I've lost the comment now because there's so many, but I'm pretty sure it was somebody said under John Gregory after we beat Southampton. Does that ring any bells at all?
What, 99? We were top of the league at Christmas, weren't we, 98? Let me just have a quick look at soccer base, mate.
Talking about clean sheets, I did that to do a preview with a Leeds podcast ahead of this game, but that's coming out after the Leicester one. So yeah. I was saying, I'd have paid 30 million for Martinez after, how good he's been for us. And I was thinking, what if he drops a clanger against Leicester? But, absolutely no chance that he's going to do that. He's got a supreme mentality. He just always looks so solid. I think he went down really softly, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he was holding up that side. I thought, there's no heart problem there, is there? Not my sweet Emmy. Like, please get back up. Because there was no contact, I thought, why is he holding that side of him?
Yeah,
like, and I thought, when I saw the brush, I was like, okay, I'll let him have that one. But yeah, thank God. I'm so pleased with him. I think, from all the comments we had when we signed him, it was like, you don't need another keeper. Man, I'd make that signing even if you had that full department or fit and healthy. Amazing signing.
Talking about your extracurricular stuff, James. You're all over the media at the moment. I saw you did. Did you do something like Radio Leicester the other day?
Oh yeah, that was terrifying.
What's going on with you, mate? You know,
I was I was on that, and I had all my little notes that I made to be professional. And my, like, they asked me a question, and I was speaking, and my dog kind of just jumped on my lap, but through my legs, and like under the notes, and knocked them everywhere. And like I lost my train of thought, and I was like, "Where am I going with this?" I stopped still. It was like blank for like 5 seconds. And I just had to like just say I forgot where I was going with it. Like, and I just felt terrified live on air. But then they said Grealish was a diver, and I was fuming because I thought the BBC can't do that. They can't say stuff like that on the BBC. Because they said, because I said he wins fouls, right? And they went, no, he's just a diver. And I was like, this is the BBC, right? You can't.
Yeah, I'm not paying my license fee for that, mate. I'll even pay my license fee for Jermaine Genius co-hosting the one show. I'm not paying it to hear Super Jackie called the diver. I wish your dog jumping through your legs would have been on video, because it'd been, you know, that one that went viral when the professor was at his desk and the kind of kids start rolling in.
Yeah.
And his wife has to kind of shoo him off.
I'm just waiting for what result we need for Janet to open his blind at last and not get out of his dungeon. What is it?
I can't even, because you know, it's night time now. There's all light shining in from it from all the houses. So can't be doing that. No, not at all.
I've got a couple of questions to keep it football related. One is more serious than the other, which we'll get to later. But there's one that's cropping up in the comments as well from Villa fans watching. How important do you think it is that we try our absolute best to sign Ross Barkley at the end of his loan spell?
Yes. Very important. See, they're going to end up getting like 50, 60 million out of us for
him. I was going to say, how much would you pay though? What would you pay? You pay 30 million for Emi Martinez easy. What are you paying for Ross Barkley?
I don't care, man. We said this before. Valuation is rubbish. It's not my money. It's some two billionaires that I don't know who are funding a club. And the club's rich because it's going to finish again in the Premier League in like top four again. Well, for the first time in however bloody long that they finished in the Champions League places before my time. You know, if all things going well, they should be pushing up for the players. They should be pushing to buy players where the valuation is, I just don't care anymore. Like, we've been like pinching pennies when it comes to signings for like so long. Just won't care. Just get him in if we are able to do so.
Typical Villa fans, we fluked a last minute winner. injury ravaged Leicester City. And now you're saying money's no object and they should go and splurge whatever. Ross Barkley, give him 150 million. Let's go ball Stamford Bridge.
It's interesting, actually. Let's talk about the game then, because you say we fluked to win, and I do kind of agree that a last-minute goal feels...
I think it could have gone all the way, but...
Yeah, but let's just go with that, because you've said it now. What did you think of the performance, though? Because, like I said, I was happy to come on here and talk about almost a bit of a stalemate. And people are calling it a professional performance, which is probably a nicer way of saying it. But I don't think either side created amazing chances. I don't remember either goalkeeper having to do a fat lot. There's a little nice run from Jack Grealish at one stage where he pinged it through into Ross Barkley and he had a shot blocked by one of their defenders. We were good and they were decent considering their injury losses. But I think a draw would have been a fair result. But obviously delighted with the win. It's my summary.
I thought it was the best non-advert for PPV that you've ever seen. To be honest, imagine if you're a neutral and you paid your 15 quid for that. It was a gritty, strong, solid away win, wasn't it? Villa had to dig in. They had to kind of, you know, I mean, I suppose there was two. Were they penalty shouts? The one on Trezeguet? Do you think?
No, I don't think so.
It was a kind of combative match. I saw Grealish get a few chunky challenges, and Castagna.
He wasn't booked way earlier than he was, I'll never know.
Yeah, but so I had to do the radio, and they were constantly like just describing Grealish hit again, Grealish down again, Grealish hit again, and you can't see it until like someone shares a clip on Twitter and goes, "How's he not off? I'm fuming." And you're like, "What challenge is this? Is this the first one, the second one, the fourth one, the sixth one?" I think you say nicked it at the end. I feel like Villa looked like the team that if any team was going to win, it would be Villa, and that's likely because, you know, Leicester didn't have Vardy, didn't have that fast ball up front, you know, just to ping it to Vardy. They didn't have that, the way they play was really affected. I know Iheanacho is like always going to do us in because that's what, you know, was it 6-6 against Villa before he started this one? So, yeah, I think that affects him massively. But look, we made the chances, the best chances. We got the lucky one at the end, but we were always going to be the team in that position to do so. I think
that's an interesting point you raised, that we looked like the more likely to score, because something me and my dad noticed is that I don't know whether I've noticed this in other games as well or whether tonight was really the first time, but I feel like we win the ball back higher up the pitch than we were last season in particular, when we didn't win the ball back hardly ever at all. But if we dispossess the opposition now, it's almost always, not always, but it's more often than it was in their own half. So we're already much further up the pitch when we win the ball back, rather than winning the ball back on our own area and having to build the whole length of the pitch. We're winning the ball back much higher up and being able to start attacks. So I think in that last 20 minutes or so, just because we were working hard as a team and as a unit, it felt like Villa were going to go on to win out of the two, because whenever we did get the ball back, we were already further up the pitch, if that makes sense.
There's really, really impressive like work rate, I think, from Matty Cash and especially Trezeguet. Yes. Like the improvement, you know, you can only do those things, you can only win the ball high if you're committed and if you're athletic and if your fitness is high and if you're, you know, the type of player who is going to, you know, not second guess those decisions and get caught out. You know, they make the decisions quick, they work hard. Matty Cash, especially Trezeguet seems like incredibly coachable as well. I think like the player he was at the start and the player he's become. The similarities, of course, you know, you're still seeing with the odd misses here and there and some of the confusion, but he's a much better player now than the player we signed. And I think, you know, that's credit to the coaches as well as him. You know, we always credit the player and we have to do that, especially so we know Trezeguet's case. I'm really, really happy with him.
What's changed?
Very coachable.
There's something, there's a word other than, but I was just going to nick it for your appraisals, but apparently Ash has just, just 8 minutes, finger on the pulse, said Ross Barkley was carrying an injury.
Oh, really?
He got a knee injury and apparently he went to celebrate with a doctor at the end. So there you go. There's some news for you.
Ooh, nice.
Live and exclusive on Clown Blue podcast. What was the question?
My question is, what's changed? Like you mentioned that when you first came in, the difference between the Villa against Leicester last time, before lockdown 4-0, and the Leicester game, which I went back and looked at, the 4-1 at our place, which I totally wiped from my memory. I think I've still got nightmares of Jamie Vardy blitzing past Bjorn Engels. What's changed for Villa this season in a simple, easy to understand way?
Just to say that, you know, Leicester did have their injuries and the key players out, but Villa aren't making like stupid decisions from the get-go. I think what Rainer did against Leicester, it was at 0-0, I think, and like you can see the frustration in the team. You see Minks, I know it was because he could have cleared it or deflected it away as it was heading past Rainer into an open net, but you see the frustration from like 20 minutes in, the pure frustration that everything's going against them. The belief, you know, we're going into the tactics of the coach, you know, or, you know, any of the stats. The belief in this team is at a, you know, much better place. Like you would say that the mentality of this team is in a more positive position than it was when we played Leicester last time. When we played Leicester last time, players were getting infuriated. You know, Rainer and Vardy had it before the penalty. They were trying to, you know, there was a load of conflict on the pitch between the players in the same team. And it's just, they're in such a better place now, not mentally. And I think that does come across, because if you're, you know, weaker mentally, you might be backing off. You might not be committing yourself to your blocks. You might be giving away these deflections with your body position. It comes down to all that stuff. And, again, going back to Cash and Trezeguet, mentality is there. They think they can win balls. They don't just think they can win balls up the pitch. They know they can. And that's the difference.
I think the pressure's off as well, isn't it? For now, if you think of what they played the last...
Yeah.
You know, the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season, the absolute pressure that they were under to try and keep Villa in the Premier League. I probably think they're invincible now, because they've come out of that. You know, they needed snookers and then the rest, didn't they, to retrieve that situation last year. So they can't, maybe, it's difficult to say, isn't it, but maybe 4 or 5 months ago, it wouldn't have been Villa who looked the most likely to score, because Villa might have retreated into the shell and just protected what they've got. But Villa did probably show a little bit more ambition, and you are more inclined to take risks if the consequence of taking those risks is not as bad as losing.
And things are coming off as well. You know, if you're Ross Barkley and take a strike from 20-something yards out, with that annoying WhatsApp keep going off, Matt Kendrick, if you take a shot from 20 yards out or so and it goes in, you're more willing to take a risk in the future, aren't you? Because you think, well, it worked before, so I'll try it again. Let's be a little bit more, have the shackles off.
It's very kind of you to kind of mention that my WhatsApp was annoying, Dan. What were we going to say? Just on the goal, I think McGinn does well, if I remember rightly. Like I say, I was watching it socially distanced at Worley Rugby Club. Of course. We won 5-5 as well, but I don't expect you to dwell on that. I thought the game was lacking in quality, wasn't it? I think we can safely say. But I think McGinn, Spanish man. It's McGinn's birthday as well today, isn't
it? It is.
McGinn,
many happy returns.
Yeah.
Many, he's definitely watching.
He's Spanish man. And just, it was, yeah, just being prepared to be on the front foot. And Barkley's an athlete for me. I know he's had kind of injury troubles, but I like the fact that he's such a beast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You wouldn't want to. You could imagine him kind of steamrolling, couldn't you? He's so kind of fit and strong.
As an opposition player, I'd be concerned about facing Ollie Watkins, Jack Grealish, Ross Barkley, John McGinn, and Douglas Luiz all running at me. And then you got Trezeguet as well on the other side, who's not really a slouch in terms of work rate these days either. So as a front, what's that, six? That's a strong front six for Villa, who are all working hard and pushing up the pitch high and winning the ball and being aggressive and in people's faces and not being scared of a Liverpool and a Leicester, who were obviously great sides last season. That's what we wanted to see. That's what we wanted from Dean Smith and this Villa side, and that's now what we're getting. And even if it does all tail off a bit, and as expected, I don't think we're going to win the league this year for real, but at some point we will start losing games. But as long as we keep playing in the same way and you can see what we're trying to achieve, I think there won't be a disappointed Villa fan with what happens.
Yeah, I think
unless we go down,
you have to be realistic about this and not to put a downer on anything. But injuries are going to happen. You're going to have to rotate, and the depth isn't really there to do that, is it? I mean, you look at your right back, your left back, centre back. Bring your Engels back in. If you lose Mings, that's a big change. And not without mentioning McGinn and Grealish. So, if injuries occur there, you do have a problem, and injuries will occur. Not to jinx, touch wood. Injuries will occur because they have to, because it is football and it is a football season that came quite quickly off the back of the last one. There's international breaks that these players are playing in. There's a lot of fixtures they have to deal with. So injuries, whatever you say, they are going to happen. That is the downer. Villa aren't going to be able to rotate very well. They haven't got that depth to do so. But the positive is you've got a real momentum now, and you can build a massive base before these injuries or whatever occurs that kind of gives you that little slump before you pick it back up again, typical Villa fashion. You could have 25, 30 points on the board, ideally. Yeah.
I'm looking at our next run of fixtures now, and it's easy to look ahead to fixtures. And I can't get up on screen at the moment, but it's easy to look ahead at fixtures when you're winning and thinking, oh, you know what? You know when you lose and you think, oh, where's our points coming from? And when you're winning, you suddenly go, when are we going to lose next? But I look at our next lot of fixtures as Leeds, Southampton, Arsenal, Brighton, West Ham, Newcastle. And I'm thinking, there's points to be had there. And before you know it, we've played, 10, 12 games. And like you said, if we're on 20, 25 points, the kind of points we're on when we, only went into lockdown last season, there's no chance of Villa being in trouble, is there, if Villa continue in that form?
Yeah, and look at, the youth players you want to bring in. Jacob Ramsey's already been blooded in the first team. It's not like you fall off this massive cliff if there are injuries. I think Dean Smith and Villa can do things. It's not like, it's a massive blank spot, but you would expect there'd be some kind of slump. Hopefully not, because I want Villa to get that 125-1-1 odds to bring in that league title for me.
Apparently, someone said it's down to 33-1 now, apparently, for us to win the league.
You're joking, because that's happened literally between the end of this match and now as we're recording, because I was going to do it. But look, that will happen. But if you have those 25, 30 points on the board, you're laughing. By the time your slump comes, you've already done all the hard work with all your best players fit.
There's something I wanted to ask you about, Matt, that I've just seen in the comments about Matty Cash with the foul, the tactical foul of him pulling down Harvey Barnes, I think, shorts. It's the sort of thing that, if that happened to a Villa player, you'd be going, oh, if that happened to Jack Grealish, you'd be going, oh, how annoying is that? He's clearly brought him down. But when it's your players doing it, it's part of the game, isn't it? You have to be smart. You have to be intelligent. That's just easy to break up the game like that. And he takes the yellow card in a good performance otherwise. I like stuff like that. And I assume you would as well.
I like somebody... You assume I would like somebody pulling down somebody else's shirt?
Not specifically that. Just being a bit cute.
No, we said this last year when... During the bleak midwinter when Villa were a little bit kind of... Had a soft underbelly. You need to be more streetwise.
Like a puppy, I remember you saying.
I think I did sound like a puppy, yeah. And I think I remember you having some Marley and me, an allergy as well at some stage. But
that's true, yeah.
I think he was, he was taking one for the team. And we've seen that, haven't we? I remember before Villa signed him that there's there's a tackle at the Hawthorns playing for Nottingham Forest when he wiped out Pereira, I think. He's not afraid to give a little, and he's a bit of a beast himself. So I don't mind it. I don't think Villa are suddenly going to become known as the kind of, you know, the spoilers and the cynical, you know, the. I don't think Villa have beaten people up to get to second in the table. I think, you know, Villa, you've got to have all elements of the game, haven't you? Yeah. So no, I don't mind a bit of short tugging.
That is part of the game, isn't it? Like I say, it's just that little bit of an edge that I feel like that's something we probably would have missed, maybe not last year specifically, but in recent years, just having a bit of bite about us and being a bit nasty from time to time. Not nasty, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think it's just, it comes down to the mentality again. I think that's a foul Villa commit last season out of frustration. I think Douglas Luiz is probably getting a bit close to getting sent off as well. But that's the type of foul Villa commit last season when they're down 3-0 in the game and they're losing track. And it's the type of foul that they'd have made and lost their head. But the reason's flipped this time. It's the type of foul I've made because they're confident. They know, right, I've got no yellow cards this game. I can pick up one by just destroying a chance. Oh, that's what elite teams do. You know, when you, I don't want to get too heady again, but when you look at, you know, the best teams in the world, they will kick you in the middle of the park when you're on a break because they just won't let you have it against them. That's what they do.
Is there anything else specifically you two wanted to go over tonight? Because I've got one final question that's probably going to give us a couple of minutes of debate and takes up to half an hour. Is there anything else you wanted to go for first?
Just John Moss. He's an inspiration to middle-aged men, John Moss.
Is he? I thought he looked very unfit.
If he can waddle around a football pitch at an elite level, do you know what I mean?
Oh, he's not an elite referee, though, is he?
No, he's not. He's not a great referee, but fair play to him. He's having a go.
What did you watch? You watched the match at the pub, right, Matt? What was the PPV experience like? Because I listened on the radio with the help of our live blog, and of course the clips that got shared to Twitter. But there's a lot. I know Gabby Banlahor shared something, and he said at halftime there's no analysis of the match, and no one's speaking about anything. It was like, you know, the old iFollow streams that you used to have in the Championship, stuff like that.
Well, yeah, it's not good for the live blog. You're actually on message, so thank you for that. We just went to the loo and to the bar at half time. I don't know what the analysis was. Steve Wollaston was pleased to know that I actually had a point of Shipyard. I know he always calls these StreamYard Shipyards. It was fine, mate. We were socially distanced. If anybody says otherwise.
Was it just like one camera angle, like one of those rubbish streams, or was it like normal service?
It was just a normal Sky match, you know. They got Lee Hendry on the co-coms.
Nice.
It was fine. We were just, I'm not going to say, as you can tell from this podcast, I'm not going to say the screen had my full attention. I was talking crap to my mates.
Oh, you surprised me?
Yeah, very surprised.
Okay, so, what was your question anyway? Or was that it?
No, I wanted to see if you had a point before I end with my, because this is an end point, really.
Someone actually asked, is the Leeds match on PPV? And it is. It's not on TV. It's pay-per-view, and so is the Southampton one. So you're going to have to go down to the pub a few times, Matt, unfortunately.
Well, I've given my £15 to charity. I don't like to talk about it.
This is the second time you've mentioned it, though.
You know what I'm like, but I'm just trying to try and find out what it was. I should know this, shouldn't I? The homeless charity.
Yeah.
Gaffer, let me find it. Let me find it. Scrolling down my Twitter. Let me find it. I can't find it. SIFA Fireside, supporting homeless and vulnerable people in Birmingham. So there you go. I've done my bit. I'm not promising I'm doing that for every match.
I mean, the point of charity is just to do it quietly, not mention it on two Facebook Lives at this point. But you do you, Matt.
And on both your Twitter accounts, retweeting it. The second one.
Okay, right. So my final question. So I'm going to look at the league table because why not? Just look at those four lovely W's next to Aston Villa's name.
Dubs, don't they? You kids call them Dubs, don't you?
Oh, God, get out of here, Matt. We're not 12.
Is that not what you're saying now?
No, just let me finish my point, please. It's Sunday night at 10 o'clock. I want to go to bed. This is a two-part question. First of all, I want this to be a short answer from you both. If I handed you 17th place right now, would you take it?
No. Get out. No. Give Matt? Me 15.
No, I wouldn't now. Not now. Not after this. Not after this balmy win. I'd take 14th, though, if you give me that.
Okay, so my second point to that question
Wait,
is:
would
what
you
is,
take it, Dan? Before
no,
me,
I said even before, I think before Liverpool, I said that we should be better than 17th this season. Yeah. Yeah, but there's people talking about you donating charity in the comments. It's making me laugh.
guys, did you know Matt donated £15 to a charity? I didn't. You retweeted from Matt Kendrick.
I don't want to talk about it.
You made Matt Kendrick 2 not to talk about the stuff on Matt Kendrick 1. And you tweet everything from Matt Kendrick 1 to Matt Kendrick 2. And I follow both of them. I follow both of them. I get a double dose.
You'd rather me be lonely.
KFC double down, it's too much.
Matt Kendrick 2 is like my imaginary friend who used to call him. He'd go with him at the park, but I'd always be down there. I'd never go up. Anyway, go on, carry on.
The second point to my question there, I also wouldn't take 17th, by the way, and I don't think any, unless you're very pessimistic Villa fan, I don't think anyone would accept 17th after four straight wins, even you, Matt. So the second part to my question, and to the 755 people still watching live on Facebook, what is Villa's ceiling now for this season? Because I know it can all fall apart, and it's only four games, but it's a great start. What should be the target for Villa now? Is it top eight? Is it top 10? Top 12? What do you think?
I think if I was in charge of speaking to the squad, I'd still have the same goal, which is, get clear of relegation, because you don't want them not thinking about that. You want them just riding that wave and keep plugging forward. Then after Christmas, we can see where we are and we can go redefine it. But for now, just keep plugging, just keep going, and let's see where we end up. I'm not committing to any answer here.
I'm with James in the way that when we used to play Sunday League, you'd have the phrase, it's still 0-0. You'd take the lead or you'd score, you'd go 2-0 up, 3-0 up. And it's still 0-0, which was just a kind of very pub league way of saying, let's keep a lid on this. And I think for Villa, it's still 0-0. What objective did Villa start the season with? I think they would have started the season with the objective to be better than last season. Now, when we're sitting in the heady heights of second in the league, finishing 16th doesn't seem, I'd love it if Villa dropped 14 places. I think Villa got a dare to dream, but equally, we've said this before, We want this growth to be sustainable. We want Villa to be challenging year after year after year. So if this is the year that they leap from 17th to 14th, let's just rejoice in that and, enjoy the kind of highs along the way. I think Villa should actually half dare to dream that they can finish top 10. But if they don't, I don't think that, and they drop to 14th, I don't think that should automatically think, oh, crap, we're going in the wrong direction, because we're going in the right direction. So let's dream for the top 10, but if we, what's the phrase? Aim for the stars or whatever, or aim for the whatever.
Yeah, it is. Something like aim for the moon, and if worst case scenario, you end up in the stars or something like that.
Something like that.
I think so.
Aim for 10th, and if you land in 14th, still good job, basically.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
I think I said at the start of the season, I'd be happy with 15th. I think I have to just revise that now and say, I think 12th maybe is what we're capable of. Like you said, top 10 would be to get into that top half. When you look at a league table at the end of a season, and we are 10th, and in that first page of the table, that would be very nice to be 10th. But 12th, 13th, 14th, I still think would be a reasonable season, given the start we've had. Anything better than that is a bonus, unless, of course, like we said, it's only four games. If we're still around 5th or 6th Christmas time, heaven forbid we actually have a good half season, then you would revise that again and say, maybe top 9, top 8 is what we're capable of. But I think baby steps is probably reasonable, but at the same time, enjoy it while it lasts, because it will run out at some point.
I think, hopefully it doesn't, but this is, it's realistic that such a high performance is will balance out, and for Villa that does mean a few losses here and there. What does losing a game feel like? Because I don't know.
Oh, I forgot, mate. I'll be heartbroken probably the next time it happens.
Does anybody know how friend of the show Barry Bannon got on yesterday? Did he play at all,
I believe he played against Birmingham City and scored a penalty, mate.
Oh, no, I hadn't seen that, mate. No, good. Well done, Baz.
It's a nice Barry Bannon podcast if people want to go and listen to our lockdown interviews. There was a cheeky mention of someone else, Lee Hendry as well, got a mention earlier. We did a podcast with him.
We're
plugging it without knowing it. There's a great story from Barry Bannon about somebody having a poo in a boot.
Is that the kind of antics you go up to at Father Side?
I didn't play very well tonight, mate. You know, I'm on the kind of... I'm in the winter of my career now. I played as a goal anger all night. And I didn't even score a goal.
That's poor.
Just,
well, it's lied.
Yeah, I need to shed some of these kind of... you know what I like at the moment? These Malteser buttons.
Oh, yeah, they're nice. Yeah, they are good.
So I'm kind of having stacks of them. And I'm thinking,
We talked about food on the last podcast, and we will wrap up in a sec because I can hear those viewers fading away. How was your chippy tea on Friday night?
Yeah, all right. I went to the one opposite the Stag and Three Horseshoes in Quinton Stroke Hales Own Rider Regis Border, for people who know it.
Yeah, I don't
know what it's called.
I don't know, but I know it.
I just had Stag kidney pie and chips, mate. Kept it simple. Very nice.
Well,
speak about Middle Earth there. Like, I'm waiting for you guys to actually mention somewhere in Birmingham, proper Birmingham.
We're not allowed to drink in the city, right?
Yeah, we're not proper villa.
Nah.
We're around the edges in the suburbs.
We're not allowed to drink in the city, and I'm not allowed to leave the house at the moment, so let's not get too emotional about Rowley Regis, because that seems a long way away.
You've been grounded, Dan.
Yeah, let's just say that, because I don't really want to go into it. I don't know why I brought it up, to be honest. Yes, we'll call it a night there. It is 10:10 on Sunday evening. It's been a lovely 35-minute chat, actually. I've really enjoyed speaking about Villa, making it 4 out of 4 for the first time in 90 years. What an unbelievable start to the season. We'll have a little plug before we go for our next podcast, which will be out on Wednesday. It's an episode of AVFC Extra featuring James Rushton and myself and Tony Daly, former Villa winger and fitness coach. Matt, can you please not interrupt my outro?
You can't see anything. You just cannot see a thing that's on your phone. It's like Paranormal Activity.
Can you not see it?
No, you're doing a really bad job.
That's your lad with his Man of the Match award.
Jack Grealish Man of the Match award, yeah. Signed by Jack Grealish on the back, so there he is. He's tall, isn't he?
James, don't you feel like this is like when you meet some family that you don't really ever see and they just like show you random things on your phone? So, oh, yeah, nice one, Uncle Matt. Thanks for that.
But we got locked in Brewdog once, which isn't like the worst big place to be locked. But there was a march going on and we got locked in, and me and my friend, and it was like this Irish guy come over, and he was just like, he'd just wandered in there, and he was shuffled over to our table, and he kept showing stuff on his phone, like right to the face. This is before COVID, so it was all fine, but that just reminded me of what Matt was doing there, because you couldn't see it, just sort of shining it in your face like that.
I've got a weird spot. You want to see?
No, I'm ending this. I'm calling it there. It's been 200 people have left us in the last couple of minutes. That's
all Matt's fault.
That's the quality of Matt interrupting my outro. So before you can speak, I'm just going to mute you, okay? You just sit there in silence. We've got Tony Daly coming up next on Wednesday. It's a great episode about sports fitness, what goes into a footballer's medical. It's actually a very interesting chat for 45, 50 minutes with Tony Daly. So stay tuned for that. We'll catch you again on Friday when Villa make it 5 in a row and beat Leeds. Thank you very much for tuning in, everybody. Thank you, James Rushton. Thank you, Matt Kendrick. And we'll catch you again soon.
Thank you all. See ya.
Now you're going to believe us.
Thank you for listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode. Until then, up the Villa!